Hello and welcome to The Crouch Room, a Turbo Club podcast. I am J-Rod Toaster Pig, and with me we have our co-host...
Bad Thoughts, hello!
And we have our returning regular, which is True Colors,
TC. Or
TC, as we affectionately call him. And with us as our special guest, we have Mikey McMuffin.
Hi there.
So, today... We're going to be talking about a few different things, including underrated / overrated games. But before we get on to that, Mikey McMuffin, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe one of your favorite games?
Oh yeah, I've already said my favorite.
Sorry, go on, Mikey.
Well, I've been part of the community since... about February last year, so nearly a year now.
Okay.
And became a commissioner in November, just from being an active member in TF2 and setting up servers and such, and I'm just a huge fan of the show.
Wait a second. Did I know he was a comm and forgot, or did I never know in the first place?
It's on the Google document.
What? Oh, yeah. Right.
That thing that I'm not supposed to tell these people about.
Well, you can tell people it exists, just don't share it with them. it's like I'm sure people know that I have a social security number. I'm not going to tell them what it is. Them knowing it exists isn't any sort of threat.
Okay, then.
Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway. Back to you, Mikey McMuffin. So, you're a commissioner, which I totally knew. People are talking in the chat and distracting me, bastards. So why don't you tell us a little, we know that you've been a comm and a member of the community. Why don't you tell us a little bit sort of about yourself, like outside of the context of the VGA Turbo community?
Well, outside of the community, I'm just done my first year at university studying game design. Hoping to create an indie company probably soonish, within the next 3 years or so.
We've had a lot of game developers on recently.
Well, makes sense.
It's a popular job choice for people who like video games.
And for a video game community. Indie game development, has become more and more of an actual viable option. A lot of game companies seem to be making their name by releasing some sort of indie game and then be kind of going from there. Imagine the last generation of consoles before we had Xbox Live and all that stuff so readily at our fingertips.
Yeah, it was very hard to get your game out there.
Yeah.
But now you can just, post it on Steam, post it on the internet, and people can find it really easily,
Yeah, and then, once you've made an indie game that got some level of notoriety, all of a sudden it's like, hey, do you want to be part of this larger company? Okay. Or...
Even looking
most
at
likely
iPhone apps.
Valve.
Hmm?
Most likely the company that absorbs you will be Valve.
Possibly. I'm putting my money I'm saying that Mikey McMuffin, I want you to eventually become successful enough that you can buy out Valve. Do you think you can do that?
I'll just go up to Gabe Newell and offer him £1.50.
Sure.
He'll take that offer.
There's a lot more money in America, so you'd be alright.
Yeah. Don't you know £1 is worth $2 million?
Really?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Totally true. Do you want to give me $2 million for £1 right now?
Indie game development can mean a lot of things. What kind of games would you aim to develop? Do you know? Are there any specific kind of indie genres that you really like? Because indie games can mean anything from Journey, which I suppose is kind of indie, to games like Bejeweled and different.
Despite
like,
the fact PopCap are like this one of the most successful games companies but, going ever.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like puzzle game, like simple little puzzle games are often considered indie as well, simply because they're not as sort of. They're not.
Yeah, you know, like even something as big as Tetris started out as just like a Russian guy making a game. You know.
Russian guy making a game.
We've had this argument a lot, like with Fraser on the show. What constitutes indie?
Yeah. I don't think. I don't think it's even really worth arguing about because I think it's. It can mean different things to different people, really. I don't think simply having a publisher necessarily disqualifies you from being indie, but that's my opinion, and that would vary from like someone else's opinion. So I don't think you're ever going to get a definitive answer to that question.
Yeah, probably. Well, no, there is no definitive answer. It's all opinion at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you like say like it has to be made by. By a company who has no affiliation with, like, Sony, Nintendo, or Microsoft, then Valve would be considered an indie company.
Hmm. Like, I don't know. It's really sort of a loaded question. You're going to get into a lot of people's differing opinions, and eventually you're just, like, all it will boil down to is opinions, and you can't disprove opinions. So it's an unwinnable argument, really. So moving on, I believe I had a question that never got answered, which was kind of what genres of indie games do you find yourself really interested in?
Attracted to?
Yeah,
I like it when indie games just like.
DC, I was asking Mikey.
Really?
Yes.
Alright, sorry.
Really?
Well, currently throughout my first year at university, you make really basic rudimentary games. So, like, I've made Bejeweled clones and Tetris clones and a lot of puzzle games.
Mm-hmm.
The only real game I sort of started developing and got a good 8 or so levels out of was a platformer that was called Clucky's Revenge.
Clucky's Revenge. So was it a sequel to something?
No, I just threw in revenge because it sounded cool.
Okay.
As you do.
Revenge is a cool word.
Yeah.
Which now... is about, it's a platformer about a chicken running about trying to escape farmers by killing them with machine guns.
Okay.
Awesome. Sounds good to me.
So you need to now make a prequel simply called Clucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know the best revenge game? Was they released a game on, I think it was either Genesis or Super Nintendo, which was called The Smurfs, The Revenge of the Smurfs. Who have the Smurfs got to have revenge over?
Gargamel! Really?
But Gargamel doesn't do anything in the game. He's not even in the game.
I don't know what game you're talking about. All I recognize The Smurfs as a franchise, but I don't remember there ever being a game, so I'm just making guesses and shots in the dark here.
But he wasn't in the game, so there's no vengeance for the Smurfs to enact.
It was literally called Smurfs Revenge.
It was called the Revenge of the Smurfs.
Revenge of the Smurfs. What? Okay, that'd
be a great horror movie. The Revenge of the Smurfs.
All right, that just brings a lot of things to mind. Like it almost sounds like a satire of the Smurfs, like a parody. I just imagine now like a cover art of like the Smurfs covered in blood and having like belts of ammunition across their manly chests while having their headbands around their like big mullets, and apparently my vision of the cover of Smurfs Revenge is a lot like Rambo.
I've just looked it up. It's if you think of Rambo, the first game where he's just strolling through a forest, setting up traps and shit, it's actually just a Smurf peeking out from between leaves in a forest. So you could kind of call it a bit Rambo-esque. It's for GBA as well.
GBA. Okay.
Advance.
I know what a GBA is. Sorry. Thank you.
You said it with a question mark at the end of it, I thought. That's all.
I didn't say GBA question mark. I just said GBA.
I thought you said GBA. Pay attention.
Anyway. Mikey. So you've got background doing puzzle games and platformers. If you had like a, if you could make, like if you had the resources to develop like whatever type of game you really wanted, what kind of genre would you tackle? And we're not talking about necessarily the type of genre that would definitely sell the best. Like we're not talking about marketability. We're just talking about you being handed the resources.
The dream game.
Yeah, like to make your dream game. And hopefully not have it turn out like Fable. Because that was What's-His-Face's dream game.
Peter Molyneux.
Yeah.
Well, I would probably want to try and go back to making a really good RPG.
Yeah.
Cool.
Based around, actually, kind of what Boothill Heroes is doing now. Make it sort of Earthbound-esque, that quirky type of character-based RPG.
Yeah. That would be
That's
cool.
That's cool. I'm certainly excited for Boothill Heroes, and especially what it's doing with the Earthbound / Western. Throwback.
I'm really excited to see what sort of VGA references are in it after Fraser donated a ton of money.
Well, there's going to be a whole town of VGA references.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's going to be awesome.
Any of you donated to the game yet?
I haven't had the chance to donate anything.
I've been busy selling off all my possessions to buy PAX tickets and Max Payne 3.
Yeah.
So I can't donate to anything.
I can only donate so much money per paycheck, or like assuming I can afford to donate anything out of a certain paycheck. The last donation I made to anything was to Mr. Chris is Mad, his film project thing. I donated some money to that. So that's my generosity for
actually,
a little
I donate
while.
A little bit to that as well.
Yeah.
Only a little.
Only a little. Yeah. Fuck him. No.
I didn't have anything else. Yeah. I literally emptied my bank account into his.
Wow. Well,
I was hopefully getting paid like a few days later. So.
Yeah, hopefully. Anyway, back on topic. So what is one of your favorite games? I don't think we ever got a clear answer to that, Mikey.
Yeah.
What's one of your favorite games? Just period.
Definitely Disgaea as a series.
Did someone else mention
Disgaea? Neko likes.
Yeah, so that's something you have in common with Neko. That and being a calm. Are you secretly Neko?
I am not allowed to answer that.
Okay.
But Disgaea is an interesting one. I said before, I've only played a very little amount of it, and it's one I've still got on my PSP and just need to pick up again.
That's a game that I am aware of and have never played.
Yeah.
I just love the infinite amount of depth to it. Like, the first game, or in fact, Afternoon of Darkness for the PSP, I've sank something like 700 hours into it. And I'm maybe about 40% complete.
Really?
It's ridiculous how much content you can get.
It's pretty daunting.
I don't have a PSP.
Yeah, it's cool.
Is it?
Yeah. I tell you what, I bought a PSP Go because I thought I want to play that Castlevania game. And I bought the Castlevania game separately without realizing that the PSP Go didn't have a disc drive.
Fail!
That's how out of the loop
that was.
I was
a worthwhile purchase.
So I just made do with. And they didn't even have the Castlevania game on the PlayStation Store, so I couldn't play.
Oh. So
that sucked.
Maybe now that the Vita is out, you can get another PSP for cheap.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
When I can be asked and have the cash.
Yeah. But yeah. True Colors. Now
he's vanished.
True Colors has vanished?
BRB, he said.
Oh, I didn't notice him say BRB. Okay. True Colors has left us.
I think he got upset because we told him we were asking Mikey rather than...
You should pay attention. I was... Alright. We'll give him a chance to talk during the main topic, which we are going to be moving on to. Since we've now gotten a little bit accustomed to Mikey, who he is, his aspirations, what he...
His hopes and dreams.
His hopes and dreams. What he looks for in a partner. Well, no, we didn't learn that. But we will learn that in time.
He likes long walks on the beach.
Everybody says that. How many people?
Well, who doesn't?
Everybody does.
Yeah.
Ever actually been for a long walk on the beach with a lass or a guy? It's very calming and very sweet and very nice.
I actually find it more calming to be in the water. I am never more relaxed than when I'm in the water.
I don't like swimming.
You don't like swimming?
I just got an image of you drowning someone in the water. Saying that relaxes me.
I'm never more relaxed than when waterboarding people.
Well, maybe it has something to do with growing up on an island.
Hey, TC.
Now, you're allowed to talk. You're allowed to talk now.
About what?
I don't know.
Whatever we asked Mikey before.
Yeah.
Okay, I like it. Indie games that just sort of like try something new, you know? It's just like... Yeah.
That's definitely one thing that indie games have a lot of freedom to do. They don't have to feel quite as pressured to adhere to current trends in games. That's one thing that indie games definitely have, is that freedom.
You try something new, or they can do something that we've all seen before, but in a clever way.
Yeah.
Like
VVVVVVVV.
Oh, VVVVVVV. That's
www.vvvv.com.xxx.
Do you know .xxx exists now?
.xxx.
Yeah, it's a type of domain you can register. And I think it was created specifically for porn sites.
Oh, yeah. I probably have seen it then.
Yeah.
My nightly brow sessions.
Yeah. Huh? Oh. Nothing. So that's where those bad thoughts come from.
Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly not nerdy books about logical fallacy.
Fallacy?
Oh.
You are a child, sir.
I am.
What's the main topic?
What? The main topic,
We have a main topic.
Yeah, we have a main
topic.
Yeah,
we do.
And it's time to transition into it. Very, very naturally. I mean, this is...
subtly.
Yeah.
You know how we should transition with the noise that the doors on Star Trek make?
Best transition ever.
Yeah.
Someone's...
Or with doo-doo-doo.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Main topic.
Or you could transition with the Wayne's World, the Wayne's World doo-doo.
Let's do the Scooby-Doo ending.
We don't want to end the movie like this. No.
Let's do the super happy ending.
So, main topic.
That guy. Sorry, go.
What guy?
Nothing.
Oh, man. That was worthwhile. All right,
go on.
So
don't ever pick me up on anything I start to say, then stop saying. That's the rule.
Okay.
Because it won't lead anywhere. I'll just say nothing.
Do you have like sentence starter Tourette's or something?
Yep, pretty much.
Okay.
I get it from my father. Right. It's his fault.
Anyway, main topic today is. underrated games and overrated games. So this topic was proposed by our guest, Mikey. Why don't you start us off? I'm sure you have something specific in mind when you suggested this topic.
I have a few. For underrated, recent underrated games, I'm gonna say Splatterhouse.
Splatterhouse?
Oh, reboot. Yeah.
Okay. And I just don't really like those kind of games, you know? They're just kind of, eh.
What kind? Well, it's I'm not sure. Like, you could define the game in a lot of ways. You could say it's a throwback to older games, or you could say
it just seems like a button masher. You know,
well, that's what it is. It's a
And plus, you know, I just can't get past that. There's some people who can, and that's fine with me.
That's fine.
The thing is, it can be a button masher. It doesn't need to be a button masher if you actually learn the controls and learn what you're doing.
I actually like games that go for simplicity once in a while. Because a lot of games.
Yeah, I like games that have simple controls too. But I like if they're simple, but you have the option of going farther ahead and learning more.
I've never been one with a lot of patience for learning complicated controls for a game. So,
I grew up with Tekken. So it sort of trained me.
Yeah, I can see that.
So your solution to everything is Air Jungle.
plus people need to play more Soul Calibur 2. That game was amazing.
That was a good game. I liked Soul Calibur 2.
I never played.
It's really underrated too. Ha.
Underrated. People loved that game.
Yeah, people love that game, but not as much as there should be. Every gamer should love that game.
Oh, well, that's like. Oh, go ahead. All right, right. You told me not to stop.
Nothing.
if I wanted to propose an underrated game, I would say, this isn't a recent one, but I'd say Mario 2. A lot of people these days like to rag on Mario 2 for being not the real Mario 2, but it was still a damn good game.
Yeah, I love that game. I think it's terrific.
Yeah.
It was probably the one...
Mario 2 is kind of overrated. I can see why they use the Doki Doki Panic for it, because it's way too similar to Mario 1. I mean, it's just like him going back to the...
The Lost Levels.
Yeah, the Lost Levels.
Yeah. It's like him going back to the Mushroom Kingdom, I think. Yeah. Right?
And people also make the argument that, oh, Mario 2 isn't a real Mario game because the game mechanics are completely different. But they haven't really established what the status quo for Mario game mechanics was yet.
Yeah. That's like saying Mario Sunshine isn't a real Mario game, because the mechanics are totally different than that.
Yeah.
Or saying Mario Galaxy isn't a real Mario game because it's in space.
Yeah. You've got a spin move. How can it be Mario?
Ah! But yeah, I would like to see more references to Mario 2 in newer Mario games. I know they've recycled some of the enemies, like Shy Guys and
Birdo. And plus, I believe that they use Birdo, yeah.
Yeah, Birdo and Shy Guys.
They use Birdo a lot, you know? Mario games, just like Mario Kart and stuff.
Birdo is basically the official partner to Yoshi in stuff like Mario Kart and stuff like that. But... I'd like to see Wart make a reappearance in a newer Mario game.
I'm sure that they've like referenced him or something.
Probably.
They must have.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't played every Mario game ever, so maybe.
You know what Wart was in though?
Mario Wiki this.
What was in I Wanna Be the Guy?
What?
What's it?
Mechaburgo.
Yeah, it's a boss.
Mechaburgo.
What are you talking about?
I don't think I've ever got that far in the game.
I've beaten the game.
Really? I never beat it. I couldn't beat the guy.
I have way too much free time on my hands.
I have way too little free time on my hands.
Do you not know what I Wanna Be the Guy is, Jared?
What?
Do you not know what I Wanna Be the Guy is?
No.
Okay. It's a notoriously difficult, to the point of being unfair, platformer.
Okay.
Plus, and the game is like half finished, so the controls just like bug out on you.
Yeah, they do. They're terrible. It's got a lot of humor and a hell of a lot of references. You're essentially this tiny little pixel guy.
It's pretty much a Bolo's Big Adventure, except unfinished.
Okay. And certainly not as polished. Probably not as fun. It's also a lot more intentionally frustrating. It literally fakes you out. Like, you'll jump across a platform, all of a sudden the platform you expect to land on just moves, and you land on some spikes.
At the very beginning of the game, you go up and you go to the left, and then you find out that there's nothing there.
Yeah, and you're just fucked over from there. You spend about 10 minutes trying to get from these invisible blocks to these invisible blocks, just to find it leads nowhere.
Oh, and by the way, about the ward thing, he's made a cameo in some Legend of Zelda games.
Oh, really?
Mario
really?
Superstar Baseball and Super Paper Mario.
Really? Oh, okay, yeah.
See,
I'm guessing the Zelda game is the GBA one, which has
Link's Awakening. Link's Awakening.
Because that one has, like, Chain Chomp in it as well, and a Shy Guy, I'm pretty sure. And actually Mario himself in the game.
Strange idea to stick in. Just these weird...
Well, then again, the Happy Mask Salesman has a Mario mask, so it's not really that out of an ordinary, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They like to make reference to their own stuff. Just like Disney likes to pop in references to Mickey Mouse, even into stuff that has nothing to do
just
with Mickey.
Like, but this is going to be a future reference that nobody gets, just like how they put the number 9 guy in just like crowds and stuff, just like making reference to their own stuff.
Number 9 guy?
Yes, the number 9 guy.
Well, that deserves a Googling right there.
I'll Google it for you.
Thank you, TC. Any Futurama reference is one I'm interested in.
I like Scruffy. The number 9 game.
Underrated games. Underrated games. I've got a couple that I'd like to talk about. Because two of them are two of my very favorite games.
Oh?
One for the PS1 is a game called Hell Knight, which didn't come out in North America. It only came out in Japan and Europe. And it's for the PlayStation. It's almost a precursor to Amnesia, in that you're playing it from a first person view, and you're constantly running from a monster that is chasing you. You get occasional breaks where it's kind of set on the underground in Japan, and you get on a train in the underground, and a monster comes and just tears apart the train, and you're left to wander through. Wander into some.
So it's some sort of underground railroad.
Yeah.
Oh, boss. Speaking of underrated PS1 games, one of my favorite games of all time that never got the rep it deserves was Chrono Cross.
Chrono Cross is another one of my all-time favorite games. I played that before Chrono Trigger. It is a masterpiece. I love that.
Yes,
game.
I love Chrono Trigger. I haven't gotten to Chrono Cross yet.
Chrono Cross also has probably the greatest score of any video game ever made.
It's one of those ones that I'm going to have to play eventually, considering how much I liked Chrono Trigger.
Yeah. I wanted to finish my point on Hell Knight very quickly.
No! Go ahead.
Yes! So, yeah, as you go deeper into the underground, you kind of come across this civilization sort of built underground, and this monster is just pursuing you, and you have to find help from people you're interacting with, really creepy, weird people. And it's a very, very tense, frightening game. I played it when I was 10. And just could not sleep for the next month or so.
The next month?
that what no, I'm being dramatic.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's genuinely one of my favorite games and one of the few games that still genuinely frightens me. I've been playing through it again recently, and it's strikingly good. Hmm. And yeah, that's about it. I've got another one, but if somebody else wants to list off another game first.
Well, it might be about time that we go on to overrated games, unless anyone has, if people have more underrated games they want to mention, go ahead. But probably should touch on some overrated games as well.
I have one more underrated game I want to mention.
Okay.
I will. There's a game for the PS3, another horror-themed game, though, called The Gregory Horror Show, which is a really strange game based off an anime, which has a very weird art style where all the characters appear to be made out of sort of cardboard boxes, and you just wake up in this forest and you arrive at this hotel, which is run by a giant talking rat.
Are you making this up?
Now, this is a real game, and it is absolutely terrific. And you meet this zombie cat called Neko Zombie, and it tells you you have to collect the souls of the guests staying in the hotel. And you have these really weird guests that, if they catch you, you see horror shows, which are like... So one guest is this person called Catherine, who is a giant lizard, dressed as a nurse, wandering around holding a giant syringe. And if she catches you, she just sticks the syringe in your head and moans like she's having an orgasm as she sucks out all your blood. And it's just the weirdest fucking shit I've ever played in my life, and I love it to pieces. It's very funny, and it's very clever, and it's very frightening. And yeah, it's good.
And that's why game developers shouldn't take drugs?
Yeah. That's why they should take drugs, because they make original, brilliant, very well-designed puzzle games like Gregory Horror Show.
Well, that's interesting.
I'd advise people to go and look it up on YouTube, the game, because it's one of those that's certainly an acquired taste if you would ever be interested in it.
Yeah.
And you can tell pretty much instantly if you're going to like it or not, if you look at some of the gameplay and the cutscenes. So yeah, it's very good though, I think. I think it's one of my favorite games on the PS2.
Mm-hmm.
And very underrated.
For something to be underrated, don't people have to actually be aware of it first?
Well, I'm going along the lines of overlooked, I guess.
Okay.
Underrated means none of people know about it, you know?
No, that's not how I interpret underrated. Underrated to me means
then
people
you have the wrong interpretation, sir.
Alright.
Yeah. Okay, I can do an underrated one. Max Payne 1 and 2 has worse reviews than Max Payne 3, which is a very stupid thing indeed, because Max Payne 1 and 2 are some of the best games ever made, and Max Payne 3 isn't.
You just can't get Max Payne out of your head right now, can
but
you?
Speaking of
no.
overrated games, GTA 4 and...
Oh, yes.
GTA 4, I just could not get into that game. You know, like, I could have accepted that if they hadn't made one of my favorite games of all time right before that in GTA San Andreas.
See, I really don't like San Andreas. I think that's overrated as well. I really like Vice City.
Vice City is amazing too.
Yeah. My problem with San Andreas just rested in things like going to the gym and having to eat. It wasn't fun for me.
You know, like, it just, like, it added that bit of realism which just, you know, made it feel just like...
I can totally understand why people would like that. It's just not for me, I think.
But speaking of games that I one of the reasons that I, you know, just, I don't think I'll be playing GTA 5, just like after playing like the Saints Row games, you know, just like just like going back to just like that serious world, it just probably won't be for me, because in my opinion GTA takes itself way too seriously.
4 certainly took itself way too seriously. Yeah. I think actually Saints Row 2 could be considered another underrated game.
Well, it's certainly... Oh,
yeah. I prefer Saints Row 3, to be honest.
Oh, really? I couldn't stand 3 because I like 2 so much, personally. I'm a bit... I've got very Yahtzee opinions on it. If you look at his reviews, you'll find my opinions just reflect his.
Yeah. I like Yahtzee's reviews. I don't always agree with them. But
I don't always agree with them.
No. But I definitely agree with a lot of the points he makes. For an overrated game, this might come across as a bit unpopular, but I felt that the Sly Cooper games were overrated.
You're walking a dangerous line there.
let me rationalize. Clarify. Yeah, they're good games. I like them a lot, but the thing that I felt killed it a lot for me was the fact that I forget his name, the turtle guy, tells you what to do in every level.
Okay.
And that really bugged me. Like, it made it seem like the game was really targeted to either retards or really young kids. When I felt like the game had they taken away that element, it would have really had a nice balance of kind of cartoonish yet like a cartoonish presentation, but still being kind of for all ages. But the fact that they kind of babied you through what to do in each level kind of killed it for me and made me feel like basically that kept me from finishing the game, really. Because I didn't feel like I was figuring it out.
That Sly was probably targeted at kids, though. Because I think it was kind of supposed to compete with the whole more like Spyro the Dragon.
Yeah.
Things like that sort of cartoon style.
But I mean, like, certainly the writing seems more targeted as kids as well. If you look at the cutscenes.
I know, but I find good kids' games are ones that those same kids can appreciate as adults. Look at the Mario franchise, or at least some entries in the Mario franchise, where it can be enjoyed by all ages, and it's really
like the measure of like a good like kids product to me is if adults can watch it and still like it, you know?
Yeah,
yeah,
and that's
the same with movies. And...
You know, like in my opinion, like those kind of things shouldn't talk down to kids because then you're talking down to your target audience, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's where the Sly Cooper franchise kind of took a misstep, in my opinion, is it by basically presuming that they needed to explain things to you because you're such a young kid, they basically made the game exclusively for young kids, where I think it had a lot of potential to be kind of that timeless kind of thing.
Kids aren't idiots. They can infer stuff, you know?
Yeah. People figured out... People, like, kids figured out some pretty awesome things with old school video games.
Just, like, be, like, obvious exposition. Just, like, have characters just, like, talk back and forth about it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make it seem like a real conversation.
Yeah. If you want a good example of a game showing you what you need to do without telling you what you need to do, you should watch the Mega Man episode of Sequelitis from Ego Raptor. That explains it really well. But anyway,
the perfect intro level.
Yeah, the perfect intro level. Riding on cars.
I haven't seen that, but I'd agree. Mega Man just sums up that sentence.
Yeah.
Riding on cars?
Riding on cars.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you should look it up, because Ego Raptor basically explains why Mega Man... I think it was Mega Man X was the example he was given. How Mega Man X does a really good job of explaining the basics of its gameplay within, like, the first 5 minutes or something like that. Anyway, moving on. Does anyone else have any other examples of overrated games they want to put on the table?
I got one.
Okay.
And I'm going to get a vast amount of hate, but I'm going to say Ocarina of Time.
What?
Ah! You have killed my boner, sir.
I'm going to get some hate, too, because I'm going to agree with you.
Ah, now, yeah. Now you just killed my boner twice.
I mean, it's not a bad game. Don't get me wrong, it's a very, very good, well-designed game. Mm-hmm. But for all the hype it gets, I just don't feel it lives up to the perfect Zelda game. Like, I preferred Twilight Princess to it,
Twilight Princess was trying too much to be Ocarina of Time instead of, like, trying something new.
Mm. To be fair, you're a wolf for half the game. That's pretty damn new.
Mm. Yeah.
Plus, like, it takes so long to get started, you know?
Well,
so did Skyward Sword. It seemed to get away with it, as far as I can...
No, but the thing is, all in Twilight Princess you're doing is just, like, going around, you know, like, and getting stuff, you know? And Skyward Sword, it felt at least a little bit important. Plus, like, the later part of the game is good enough that makes up for it.
You had to grab a bull in Twilight Princess before it escaped. That's gotta be important.
You have to, like, grab, like, a baby carriage with a hawk.
You need to grab a woman's bosom with your hands.
See, I bet it'd be better. I really like Twilight. I like Twilight Princess and
The thing that I didn't like about Twilight Princess is that it took itself too seriously. You know, and Skyward Sword, they throw jokes in at themselves. You know, they have fun with it. You know.
Yeah, that's fine. I didn't mind it taking itself serious. Yeah, same as me.
Did any of you see the April Fool's joke that was done a while ago? I think it was 2 years ago.
Zelda movie trailer.
No, Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Future, April Fool's.
Oh yeah.
No.
It was vastly good April Fool's joke. They came up with a website and everything, and it was rumored that Nintendo was going to collaborate with Square Enix to make a Zelda game based in the future.
Those
where like Ona was like a motorcycle. It was amazing.
And would they
of Zelda Full Throttle.
The Legend of Zelda Mass Effect.
Link would have to have really crazy hair if SquareSoft was involved. Yeah. Or Square Enix.
Link would just be Cloud, but in a green cap.
And that'd be it. They made this amazing art, and it looks so awesome.
Like a mid-call where, like...
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Hello? I didn't just lose you guys, did I? Or did somebody lose someone? Fuck. Alright, recording again. It stopped around where you were talking about something, TC. So...
What? I was talking about something?
Yeah!
That's the whole podcast.
Okay, then.
Right.
Okay, yeah, that's something pretty great. It isn't a bad thought.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I really like that something. It's not overrated at all, I guess.
I like my best unoverrated thing is that thing that we talked about, which is the best one of all of them.
Yes, it is the best one. I think that something is Zelda and how it was taking itself too seriously.
No, yeah. I was talking about Zelda Ocarina of Time and how it doesn't live up to the hype. Teehee.
I think...
No, Mikey said that. Mikey. More eloquent than me about this.
We had managed to talk about that.
Okay. Right. Getting to the point that TC, you made the point that it was too serious for your tastes.
Yes, because, you know, it's Zelda. It's a guy in a green green to walking around killing people. It's naturally kind of, you can't take that too seriously. So
okay,
they actually have to just like poke fun at themselves.
Well, that's a fair point. But what were your opinions on Majora's Mask? Because that took itself a hell of a lot more serious than any others.
But the thing is, Majora's Mask was good enough that it that justifies it.
Okay.
So was Zelda. So was Twiglet Princess. As far as I'm concerned, anyway.
This is overrated.
Well, there's a handful of Zelda games that are held in very high esteem by a lot of people. Which one's held in the highest regard is, you know, subject to different people's opinion. But I think you get kind of the Citizen Kane effect, where so many people love it and hold it in such high regard that, of course it's going to be overrated. Because
But that's the thing about Citizen Kane, is that everybody says that it's the greatest movie of all time, and then you go and watch it and you think, actually, that is pretty damn good.
Well, yeah, it is pretty damn good.
Well, yeah, you think the same thing when you play Ocarina of Time. It's just that people have said, oh, this is amazing, which it is. And then people have thought, okay, it's not as good as people say it is, because, you know, people have just, like, hammered into your skull that this is the greatest game of all time.
Citizen Kane has almost become the buzz around Citizen Kane has become almost like
it's justified.
It's a great movie, and it should be watched by every film buff out there should watch it at some point.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because it's the best movie ever made, but mainly because it is regarded as such, and you need to have your own opinion of it. You need to know what the buzz is about.
Ocarina of Time should be played because so many games took a lot from it.
Yeah. Citizen Kane is one of those influential films. It's a great film. Is it the best film ever made? No. Is it called the best film ever made? Yes. And...
Well,
I... Fools, Lou.
There's
you
a
can't
difference
go around making that sort of statement. So
appreciating Citizen Kane, and again, I'm still using this as an example, is more it's almost an experiment in understanding the culture that has grown from it than just sort of Citizen Kane is like a force of nature. It's more than just the film. It's the cultural reaction to that film. And you can say the same thing about a lot of the Zelda franchises. Like,
I can see, like, why people think that Citizen Kane is as good as it is. As is Ocarina of Time, it's just that by that year's standards, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, so...
Yeah. Basically... If enough of a hype builds around anything, of course that hype is going to sort of... The hype itself is going to outweigh the merit of the product that the hype is around. No, I don't think any Zelda game could ever 100% live up to the hype surrounding it in everyone's eyes.
Skyward Sword was very, very strongly...
Well, that's Twilight Princess lowered people's expectations going into it.
That's not fair to say.
Are you saying that Nintendo intentionally released a game that would disappoint a lot of people?
No, I'm saying that game wasn't really that good, so it just kind of made people think, okay, maybe they've lost it. Nope, it's still great. Boom. Release Skyward Sword.
Kind of like Ocarina of Time, and then they brought out Wind Waker.
Zelda 2 Zelda 2 and A Link to the Past.
Zelda 2 is really good. Actually, no, Link to the Past is probably the greatest Zelda game ever made.
I still stand by my point that hype becomes a force of its own, and if something is like if something gets enough hype behind it, you're always going to get certain people who are disappointed by the product itself, because nothing can live up to the huge amount of hype that revolves around things like Ocarina of Time. Duke Nukem Forever.
There's your prime example.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, oh man. That... I think even if Duke...
Oh, and speaking of overrated games, Duke Nukem 3D, it wasn't really that good by today's standards.
That's what I say about Ocarina of Time.
Today's standards is not what they're held to a lot of the time. But,
wait, Jaren, why didn't you say that about Ocarina of Time?
Why didn't I say that it didn't live up to today's standards?
No, why didn't you defend Ocarina of Time about that, huh?
About what?
About the living up to today's standards, you know? Just like you should point that out, you know, stuff.
So. I'm not fully following what's going on here.
I'm not either.
Like, why didn't you point that out?
Ever since you got hung up by your internet, we all got lost.
Yeah, I think lost in space.
Trying to say is that. Sorry,
go on, Mike.
Go on, Mikey. Right.
No, not saying it.
Please, we want to
continue.
Continue with what? We weren't really saying anything.
Continue rambling on about stuff.
You know what? I like coasters.
What? Man, we have derailed here.
Okay. Anyone got any other overrated games? To piss off the public.
Overrated or underrated?
Oh.
Oh,
here we go.
Huh?
Skyrim.
What?
Halo.
I'll give you Halo.
Okay. Halo 1 wasn't that good, but Halo 2 was amazing.
Halo 2 had probably the worst ending in gaming history.
I mean, like, just for the multiplayer and the polish that had, I played Halo 2 probably more than any other game when it came out.
And nobody...
I didn't like that they brought dual wielding in, because I've never... The only game I've ever liked dual wielding in is, again, Max Payne.
No, but the thing is, that's the point. You're supposed to be able to have variation, you know, just like you can dual wield, or you can just go around meleeing everything, or you can just be a sniper.
Yeah, I guess so. That's true enough.
I think it's pretty harsh to say it's the worst ending of all time. I think that title goes to Mario 2.
Yeah.
Where it's just, it was a dream. You know how much that pissed me off as a kid.
It's a complete cop-out.
Incredibly hard game. And, it's just a dream.
Yeah. It's a complete cop-out, just saying, this is not canon.
But at the same time, it had amazing music. The end credit music in Mario 2 is awesome.
Too bad it makes me cry myself to sleep at night. Every night, though, because of that ending.
Oh. I never got that pissed off about that ending as a kid. But,
Well, that's the ending that all kids in school would use at the end of their stories. And then an alarm went off. It was all a dream. So yeah. I was kind of used to it.
Yeah. It was all a dream. Mario... It's funny, if you think about it. Like, the amount of really terrible endings that some games have had in the past, and yet nobody's ever asked them to go and rewrite it. Huh? Why is it all of a sudden now?
Well, it's because, like, back then, you know, it's just like, you know, people said, okay, we don't need a story. Push it to the shelves. You know?
People are being asked to rewrite stuff now, though. Look at Mass Effect 3. They're being forced to re-release a new ending.
That's exactly the point I was getting at there.
Okay.
He was trying to be subtle.
Yeah.
I'm not subtle. You could say I'm far from subtle.
Hey-o!
To it.
Yeah. I am
sorry,
very much...
Sorry, Jay, but I can't find that.
Just long story short, I'm very much against the whole forcing publishers to backtrack and rewrite endings, yeah. even if it's a shit ending. I don't like
it. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, things just have shit endings sometimes. It sucks.
Deal with it.
Alright, so I think we've explored the topic of overrated and underrated games pretty heavily. Does anyone else have anything else to add, or should we bring things to a head here?
No, I don't have anything.
Alright. Bad Thoughts, do you have anything more to add?
Strangely enough, no, I don't.
You've surprised yourself with your lack of...
Yeah.
Alright.
I'm looking around, and I can't see anything that makes me think of more overrated games, so never mind.
What about our esteemed guest, Mr. McMuffin? Do you have any more games to add to the pile?
I think I've gathered enough haters already.
Alright. Alright, so to conclude, we should make Mikey aware of the current running joke. Has anyone actually told him about this yet?
Oh, Mikey.
I don't think I've told him yet.
We have a thing now. Like you, where with the TurboCast we had the Turbo Club sandwich. We've retired that, and now the Crouch Room has the Turbo mixtape, which essentially you must suggest a song for us to add to this playlist.
Any song.
As long as we can find it on YouTube.
Will you release the whole thing in just
a real long video, just like all the songs.
I don't. Well, we could, but considering this YouTube channel is monetized, we could get in trouble by taking people's songs and putting it on there. But link
on like someone else's channel, like I don't know.
Well, basically, by just linking to these videos in a playlist, we do absolutely nothing wrong.
Let's do that. Let's like make a video saying, okay, the playlist is up. Okay, cool.
We already have a playlist going.
Ooh.
Mikey, any ideas? Sorry to just spring this on you. I completely forgot about that.
Do we have any songs currently?
We have one song in the playlist right now. There'll be another one being added to it when the next episode releases, which will be before this one. So, by the time people are listening to this, there'll be two songs in the playlist already.
One of them will be ML. One of them is MLP related. Another is a Japanese something that's very disturbing.
Yeah, Ombre suggested the Japanese one, I think.
Yeah.
It could be any song.
See, now that you've said that, I was gonna pick something a little bit mainstream, but now I'm gonna try and get something obscure.
We don't mind mainstream. We're all for mainstream.
By the way, we should probably make the guests aware of this beforehand, because this is the same thing. This same thing happened with the last recording, where we're all like, you gotta give us a song, and that person's like, what? Huh? And then we wait for like 5 minutes as they find something.
I've added a note to my list of things to say when adding people and PMing them.
I'll remind people.
Done.
Okay.
We have a thing. All right. So
we have all the things.
So we have, there'll probably be a link showing
is
up.
Added to purely disturb people.
All right.
I'm trying to out-disturb via the music video. If you watch it.
Alright. What's the name of this song?
Die!
It
is Die by Fantasy.
Fantasy.
Holy shit, I've just seen the thumbnail in the playlist.
Alright. This song is called Die!
It goes in a weird
direction. Oh. Mikey McMuffin is bringing the darkness. Alright, so...
It looks like Waltz with Bashir. Sorry. It's an animated movie. Never mind. Go on. I'm watching the music video.
Alright. So, everybody. That's the conclusion to the episode. We have an addition to our ongoing playlist. And I'd like to thank Mikey McMuffin for coming on the show today. We had planned to have him on earlier, but that, you know, it's good to finally have him on here. You've been awesome, Mikey.
Mikey, do you have any like channels or anything to plug before you go?
Nope. I'm just gonna say keep watching FFSTV.
Keep watching cool. Yes, let's plug Fraser's show. Is it?
Let's plug that, because nobody watches that watches this.
Yeah. our viewers have no idea what that is.
We have to grow their fan base for them.
Fraser needs money. We got that much pull on the internet that we're gonna swing things around for him. We're gonna make him millions of dollars. And I'm referring to dollars in some country where it equates to a few cents. Big thanks to Mikey McMuffin. Big thanks to Bad Thoughts. Big thanks to True Colors. You guys want to say goodbye?
Big thanks to J-Rod.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.